What's up, everyone? Good morning and welcome to our Water's Edge online Sunday morning worship experience. Once again, thank you so very much for tuning in, hanging out with us today. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. We absolutely love you all. For those of you that continue to like and share these online worship experiences with your circle of influence, thank you so very much for doing that. Continue to do that. We have people that tune in from all over the place. Also, for those of you that continue to worship with us online through giving and generosity, maybe by meeting our new $10 challenge, thank you so very much for doing that. Continue to do that. You allow us to help more people, love more people, shelter more people, minister to more people, feed more people, and serve more people. Today, we begin a brand new series, and this series, I think, is going to be kind of different. I also think it'll be very eye-opening and inspiring, and this series is called The Strangers, and it's really all about this. What if it's time for this world to see a new kind of follower of Jesus Christ? What if it's time for this world to see a new and a different kind of faith, and a new and a different kind of expression of our faith, and a new and a different kind of compassion and love? And what type of impact would this new and different kind of love have on our lives, on our cities, on our communities, and on our world? Today is going to be just like an introduction to this new series, this new study called The Strangers. We started The Water's Edge way back in September of 2007. And when we started The Water's Edge back then, we wanted to be a different type of church, a different type of gathering, a different type of assembly of people that loved Jesus. We wanted to be the type of gathering that welcomed all people and loved all people and served all people and actually put our faith into action. And from the very beginning, this was our heart and this was our vision. And this is the type of gathering that we've always tried to be. And notice this today, a gathering that tears down walls between God and people who've been made to feel not good enough for God or made to feel far away from God by religion. Now, today is Mother's Day, and my mom is one of the smartest ladies that I know, but she's also one of the greatest examples that I've ever seen in my life of servanthood and love. Servanthood and love, putting her love into action. Growing up, I have two brothers, which meant my parents had three boys to raise. And my mom with three boys to raise, I would watch her wake up every single day of my childhood at about 5 o'clock in the morning. And she would have her quiet time with God. And she would study her Sunday school lesson. After that, she would make sure that clothes was getting washed and clothes was getting dried and folded. She would get three boys up and ready for school. She would get our lunches ready. And then she would go teach third grade all day. And then she would get us home from school. She would get us off to our basketball practices and our football practices and guitar lessons, whatever it was. And then she would wash more clothes and she would go grocery shopping and she would get dinner ready. She would get dinner cooked and then she would grade papers from teaching all day at school. And then she would study her Sunday school lesson some more because not only was she a third grade teacher, she was also a Sunday school lesson teacher. And then we would have dinner and then she would go to bed about 11 o'clock and she would wake up the next day and do it all over again, over and over and over again, week after week, month after month, year after year. And I saw my mom do this. And honestly, I saw her love. But not only that, not only did she serve and love, she was always, always concerned. Concerned about how we were feeling, concerned about how we were dealing with stress or loneliness or anxiety or heartache and pain. And we always knew that she loved us because you can tell what real love is. When you see what real love is, you know that it's real love. When you feel what real love is, then you know that it's real love. And so today's message is going to be just a little bit different because this is what I want us to do. I want to share this very different type of personal message with you. And then at the end of the message, I want us to go to the words of Jesus and go over the words of Jesus and really drive this point home. Now, everyone listening to this right now probably knows what a chainsaw is. A chainsaw can be very useful, especially after hurricanes hit, but they can also be very dangerous. But let me ask you this. Do you know what a bullhorn is? Those big microphones that you carry in your hand and it has a handle and a trigger on it. People use these big bullhorn speakers at outside events, outside youth events, outside get-togethers to get people's attention or to make announcements. And most people would probably consider a chainsaw more dangerous than a bullhorn, but sometimes maybe it's not. Several years ago, I remember I was in San Antonio, Texas, and I was there for a conference. And after one of the conference sessions one day, me and some friends were just kind of walking around the city, and we were looking at some of the local shops, and we were looking for a good restaurant to eat at. And as we were walking around the streets in San Antonio, we came across, I heard this loud commotion in the distance, and we came across the street preacher who had a big bullhorn, and he had these pamphlets that he was handing out. And I heard him yell things like God's wrath and God's anger, and he was talking about everyone else's sins, and he was talking about punishment and judgment and condemnation. And then all of a sudden you would hear him throw the name of Jesus in there, and so he's talking about religion, and he's talking about God's wrath and anger and sin and punishment and judgment, and then he would talk about Jesus. And I remember that day thinking, man, I wanted to talk to him so bad because me and my friends just didn't get it, and honestly, no one was stopping to listen to this guy. No one wanted to hear what he had to say. No one wanted to go further with him. No one wanted to stop and have a conversation. No one was listening. And I wanted to stop and have a conversation with this guy and say, hey man, what you're doing and how you're doing it doesn't seem to be working. No one is hearing you. No one is actually stopping to listen. And I also want to tell him, not only do I think that it's not working, but I actually think that you're making things worse with this approach. And I walked away that day knowing that I never wanted to be confused with someone like that. I never wanted anyone to think that I was on that person's team. I never wanted to be painted with the same brushstroke that that guy was in. I wanted to be a different kind of disciple and a different kind of person of faith and a different kind of person of peace and a different kind of follower of Jesus Christ, because I know that this is not what Jesus had in mind. And me and my friends, as we sat there and watched this guy yell at people through a bullhorn and throw pamphlets at people about God's wrath and God's judgment, We just didn't get it. It just didn't make sense. It just didn't feel like love. You couldn't sense love in what he was saying. It just was not saturated with compassion and love, and it didn't have much to do with the true message of Jesus. I mean, Jesus even said this, and noticed this one time. He said, I did not come here to condemn people, but I came here to rescue people. There's even in the story of the Bible where these religious leaders, they trap and they catch this lady in the act of adultery, and they drag her before Jesus, and they tell Jesus that our religion demands that she be punished, she be put to death, she be stoned. And Jesus basically said, well, if you have no sin in your life, then you can throw the first rock, you can cast the first stone. And of course, nobody did. And they all left that day. And Jesus looked at that woman. He goes, all of your accusers and those people that condemn you, they have left. And then he said this, he goes, and I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Now get up and follow me and I will transform your life. I came here to rescue you, not condemn you. And honestly, that's why so many of us are fascinated with Jesus. We're not fascinated with church and we're not fascinated with religion, but so many people out there, they love Jesus and they're fascinated with Jesus, but they're just not drawn to that harsh, judgmental church. I mean, isn't that what really draws you to Jesus today and provokes you to worship him? The fact that he accepts us just as we are and he calls us to come to him and follow him just as we are. Doesn't he love us with everything that he has, no matter what? Isn't that what fascinates you about Jesus today and draws you to follow Jesus and provokes you to call out to him and worship him today? And I know, because of religion, I know what this bullhorn preacher was thinking. He was thinking that he was just sharing the good news of Jesus with everyone that was walking by on the streets that day, but it didn't sound like good news. It sounded like bad news, and it sounded like awful news, and it sounded like scary news, and it sounded like news of condemnation, and it sounded like harsh, religious, judgmental news, but it didn't sound anything like good news at all. Nothing like good news. It didn't appear loving. It didn't feel loving. You couldn't sense love saturated in this message whatsoever. And at one time, this religious expert walked up to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, I want to know, and we want to know, what's the greatest commandment commandment of God. And Jesus basically said this. He goes, there's two and they're the same. They're exactly the like and they're equal. First of all, love God with everything that you have, all of your heart, soul, and mind. And then after that, love all people, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's pretty hard to do when you scream at people through harsh judgmental religion or a bullhorn on the streets. Jesus never separated loving God and loving other people. For Jesus, everything came down to these two things, loving God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and loving all people, loving your neighbor as yourself. And the New Testament makes it very clear that the defining quality of someone who loves Jesus and follows Jesus is this. It is love. The Apostle John writes a series of letters to the very first disciples and the very first followers of Jesus Christ. And in these letters, he basically says this, and remember this today. If you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. If you say that you love God, but you don't love the people around you, then you're a liar. It's almost as if John says this, how you love people is how you love God. How you demonstrate your love for all people is how you demonstrate your love for Jesus Christ. Which means this, we have to be very, very careful how we express love to all people today. We can't just say, well, this is how I express love. I go out on the streets and yell at people through a bullhorn. No. If the greatest commandment is to love God with all that you have and love all people and love your neighbor as yourself, then we have to discern. We have to be careful. We have to be wise with how we express this love to all people. In fact, there's this other passage in the Bible, and the great missionary says this. He says, what if I can do all things? What if I can say these great and amazing things about God and about Jesus? What if I can answer all these confusing questions about the world and about God and about Jesus? What if I can make these grand speeches? What if I can raise people from the dead? What if I can do all these miracles? He goes, what if I can do all those things in the name of God? He goes, but if I don't have love, then all I'm doing is making just a bunch of loud noises. He says, it's like I'm beating on drums or I'm beating on cymbals. Or I'm beating on loud cymbals and gongs. He's like, I'm just making all these loud noises that no one wants to stop and listen to. If I don't have love, he says, my religion is just making a loud noise and people keep passing by and people just don't want to hear it and they just don't want to listen to. And I have to be honest with you, religion and church is really good at that today, at just making loud noises, harsh noises, judgmental noises. We condemn people, and no one wants to listen to the noise that the church is making today. We need a better way. We need a new kind of love. We need a new kind of faith. We need a new and a different kind of Jesus follower today. We need to be a new kind of Christian. People have souls. People have heartache. People are hurting. People feel lonely. People go through difficult storms. People have real dreams, real fears, real hurts, real struggles, and God loves people, and God loves all people, and people are not numbers for churches to count and convert. People are not numbers for churches to count and convert. All people are precious to God. They are not statistics, and people are not future conversions for the church and for religion. If our so-called love comes with agenda, if our so-called love comes with strings attached, then it's not real love, because God loves everyone, and any movement that does not love first is not of God. Any movement that does not love first with no agenda is not of God. Any religious group that hates or marginalizes or oppresses or practices exclusion is not representing Jesus, and they're not representing love. And Jesus wants to have no part of that. And as a new kind of people of faith with a new kind of love and a different kind of love and a strange kind of faith that doesn't make sense in this world, we should want to have nothing to do with that either, because it's not love. If it comes with strings attached and agendas, it is not real love at all. Everyone in this world has different experiences and different backgrounds and different hurts and different stories and different struggles and different traumas and different pasts. And these are all people that God loves, and God loves all people, and all people are precious to God, and we are to love all people with the love of God. It's like this. The way we love people is the way we love God. The way we demonstrate our love for all people is the way we demonstrate our love for Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that doesn't mean that you have to agree with everyone. And that doesn't mean that you don't stand up for certain convictions that you have. None of that means that. But let your convictions start with you. Focus on what you need to change in your life and focus on that first. And let other people deal with what they need to change in their life. They're smart enough to do that. And God can deal with them on their terms. In fact, we need a new revolution in the church today and a new revival of people starting with their own hearts and their own lives and their own struggles. Stop developing convictions about other people's lives. Stop developing convictions about other people's lives and start with your own. And the church needs a fresh and new revolution of this today. Start with your own life and the changes that you need to make and let other people worry about their life. And in the meantime, love everyone. Love everyone. We know true love when we see it and we know true love when we feel it. I have never doubted my mother's love for me, because true love, you know it when you see it and you know it when you feel it. It's very convincing. It's just not convincing through religion and judgment and condemnation and bullhorns. God loves everyone, even those people that you don't agree with and those people that you don't understand. Even James, the half-brother of Jesus, he wrote this one time and he said that God has no favorites and that God shows no favoritism. He basically says that with Jesus, everyone's on equal ground at the foot of the cross, and God has no favorites and he shows no favoritism. And because of that, understand that there is so much good we can do through the love of God. There is so much good that we can do through the love of God. Remember this today. If you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. Love helps and love heals. Always love helps and love heals. Love helps and love heals. And at the end of the day, we also believe this, that love always wins, especially God's love. And I don't know about you, but when people are around me, I want them to feel that they're loved and I want them to feel the love of God. It makes such a difference when we just listen to people, listen to their hurts, listen to their hopes, listen to their dreams, listen to their heartache, their concerns, and their stories. And on top of that, there's so many people out there today that just have basic needs, and love can make an impact. There's so many people around us and in our world today, especially in our community, that have so many basic needs like food and shelter and medicine. Food and shelter and medicine. And love can make such an impact when we love with no agenda. When we truly love, we can do so much good just by loving people. And nothing points people to Jesus more than putting our love into action. Jesus even said that when we come together and we love other people in this way, then he's right there with us by his Spirit. Jesus never tried to threaten people into loving God. Jesus never tried to guilt people or scare people into the kingdom of God. Jesus basically said this, I'm here to teach people about real life, and this real life is peaceful and joyful and abundant, and I am inviting you in to live this real life. Right after the two major hurricanes hit our community just over 3 years ago, about 4 years ago, Hurricane Laura and Hurricane Delta, man, our building was just ravaged by damage. Man, we lost everything. It flooded. It had holes in the roof, holes in the walls. We couldn't have in-house services for a long time. We were coming off the pandemic, and then the two storms hit. So we didn't really know what to do because we couldn't have church services in our building. So this is what we did. We just took our love and our worship to the streets, but we didn't take it to the streets with bullhorns. We took it to the streets with something less dangerous, and that was chainsaws. And this is what we would do because it looked like an atomic bomb went off in our city. So we went out to people's homes where they had limbs down, trees down, fences down, debris everywhere. We took our chainsaws and our tools and we just started clearing people's yards and cleaning people's yards and fixing stuff. We would bring them ice cold bottles of water. We would take all the debris that we were cutting up, all the trash. We would move it out to the end of their road so the city could pick it up so they wouldn't have to do it. And people would ask us why. Who are y'all? Where are y'all from? And why are y'all doing this? And this is what we would say every single time. And notice this and remember this today. Because we love you and God does too. We love you and God does too. And that's why we're doing it. Well, they wanted to listen to that message. And many of those people started coming to church and God transformed their lives. Let me ask you a question. Do you want God to use you in this world and in this life? Because that'll give you purpose. Do you want that to be your purpose? If that's what you want, then we all have to become a new and a different kind of disciple, a new and a different kind of Jesus follower, strangers. And this is what that means. We start with love because love never fails and love always points people to Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. Use them well. Use love well to serve one another. Let's be a new and a different kind of Jesus follower, strangers in this world. John 13, 34 through 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love is the evidence. Let's be a new and a different kind of Jesus follower, strangers in this world. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you're committing a sin. You're guilty of breaking the law. God has no favorites. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For God does not show favoritism. God has no favorites. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. If I could speak all the languages of earth and all the languages of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be gaining nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It does not keep a record of being wrong. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. On this Mother's Day, let's purpose in our hearts to become a new and a different kind of Jesus follower, strangers in this world, as we love God and we love people, because love is the way. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Now stay tuned in for an amazing time of worship with the amazing Water's Edge worship team. We love you all. Again, happy Mother's Day, everyone.